This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
Hialeah Park. Yes, sir. Sean Stanley, the man that masters this program every single day by my side. Always living on the edge with a little edge energy drink. There you go. Use my code Big O. Get 10% off your order wherever you're at. You want to try the best energy drink on the planet right there. 78 calories. And when I say delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste, I mean it, baby. Delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. Go to myedgedrink.com and get it delivered to you. By the way, you could also use the Liquor Split app. So tonight when you're ordering a little vodka, use or a little edge or a little rum or a little edge too. Mix it up. Great elixir. By the way, Alex Johns is in the house, the man with two first names. Yeah, the man that has set the rules for real fans. Real fans. Real fans don't take a break for the bathroom. Real fans don't go to a wedding or a concert, or a funeral. No, you better attend that live sporting event, or you're a crap fan. Anyway, welcome aboard, Alex Johns. We love you. Oh, by the way, for that, for our listener in Fort Myers, I forgot his name now already. But sir, I want you to know that before the pandemic hit, there's a Fort Myers Dolphins bar that reached out to me, and I don't know if I ended up saving the number, which I don't think so.
Oscar Quintero.
Oh, Oscar. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Fort Myers Dolphins bar that reached out to me and wanted us to go up there. And this was right before the pandemic and all that. And so, you know, whatever, it never happens. But there is one, so they might be still interested in having us up there in Fort Myers. And we can go up there for a couple of days. Not a problem. I have no problem going out there. Should be fun. Has anyone watched Shaq and Barkley yesterday going at it over Jimmy Butler and Marcus Smart? I don't know what they were talking about. Samuel Rosa says, Big O, I used to listen to QAM when Hank Goldberg was on and Joe Rose and Jimmy Cephalo were still playing for the Finns when you came on radio in the 90s. I love listening to you just like I do now. Thank you, Samuel. Very nice of you. And he also says, who cares if sponsorships are out of state or not, as long as you guys are taken care of, that's what matters. Thank you, Big O, for taking care of our sports community as long as you have. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And don't forget, you can't miss the game live, Hunter Butler says. Never, never miss the game live. So, before I talk a little Dolphins here, because I've got a message. I've got to send out a couple of messages I've got to send out to some of you, to a folks, to a haters, to a disbelievers. Can I just say something? Did you watch Inter yesterday? Did they have not played bad the last 2 weeks. The last 2 games, because they're going to play again this week on Sunday. But last night, man, I mean, dude, Campana hits the post. You know, there were a couple of chances. We airmailed one, like, you know, right over the net that it should have been a goal. They could have won that game 2-3. They could have scored 2-3 goals in that game last night. The young guys, man, I got to tell you something. There are no moral victories. I get it. It's their third year, and it's been disastrous and all that stuff, and it's a bad year again this year, and they're not going to go to the playoffs, but I got to admit, the last couple of nights, the last couple of games, they've been entertaining, man. I like watching the young guys. I will say the wind came out of my sails once I saw Higuain come in.
69th minute. Why?
Yeah.
Bring him in the 83rd, 84th. If you're going to do it, then, you know, because again.
Well, the problem is you play on Sunday and Campana has to rest.
Give him 20 minutes of.
I know.
I mean, it's
my wife asked the same thing, and I said, They play on Sunday. They've got to save their horse.
I understand that, but it's like the one thing about this team now that I see is they still make a lot of mistakes.
Oh, yeah, because they're young.
But they're fast enough now to recover and get back, whereas they made those mistakes where they go in and all those other guys.
Cooked.
The MLS guys just ran right by
them. No, they would have to foul.
Yeah, yeah.
In order to just save the play and give up a yellow card. Yep. You know? So then you have Figal and the other idiot.
LGP.
LGP committing.
The leaders of the yellow card troop.
Yeah, God, those guys, man. Stupid foul after stupid foul after stupid foul. But I just want to say this. Chris Henderson's finding some guys, man. Just give him time. Give him the resources. And I know Moss will. He'll figure it out. But I know that they bring no interest by anybody right now. Nobody cares about Inter. And I know I'm one of the few that probably care or watch. But I got to say, I've been entertained the last couple of games. And by the way, we nailed it. Yesterday, the liquor split, we haven't won a lot of liquor split matchups of the night lately. We nailed that when we told you to take Inter plus a goal and a half because of the way they've played. And sure enough, it worked out. All right. So I want to get that off my chest. And Drake Callender, by the way, also props to you, kid. Played well yesterday. Played well. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I've been watching some stuff brewing about Tua. And I know that I'm one of the few defenders in the media of Tua. I know that it's become a thing whether you believe in him or you don't, right? And people have chosen sides. And I think it's gotten even to the point where there are certain sections of Dolphin fans that they're so convinced that the guy is not the guy that they can't wait to see him fail just so they can be right. You know what I mean? So, but I also see some things brewing too that I'm not going to give you a break on. And I'm not going to give you a break on it because those of us that have followed this with some common sense, I believe, have not reacted this way because we've used common sense. And I think common sense has been lost when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa. Now, let me start off, first of all, with the first thing that I want to get into about Tua, and there's this latest one that he didn't want to be a captain, and Omar talked a little bit about it on our show, and so it's kind of gone a little viral, and people are kind of talking about it and saying, you know, well, Tua didn't want to be a captain because he didn't want to have to deal with Flo every week. I've already heard it a couple of times saying he's not mentally tough. Here's a kid that comes off the bench in the highest point in college football in a national championship game, saves the program's ass, plays lights out, and they win the national championship. Which has nothing to do with being soft and not mentally tough. Here's a kid that has blown out not one, but two of his ankles. And in order for him to try to avoid that problem again, he not just repaired the ankles, he had them wired with a titanium, I think it was, wire to strengthen it because he intends on playing again. So it happened to the first ankle. What happened to the second ankle? He said, no, let's do it again. So here's a kid that then trying to make a play, got in trouble, and, you know, blew up his hip as 200-300-pound guys fell on him. So he blows his hip in late November. Think about this. You blow your hip, you're just hoping you can walk again. This kid wants to work out and get back to the NFL. So he gets back to the point where he can actually even throw the ball in workouts for NFL teams leading up to the draft. And he's ready to play when Flo throws him in there for the Rams and he gets slammed by Michael Brockers. So that's not a mentally tough guy. So Tua is the guy that this year he gets his ribs crushed because Jesse Davis can't play. He gets his finger fractured and he's ready to play and he wants to play. But his coach keeps him out until his coach actually realizes, you know, this Jacoby Brissett guy can't play. Let me play this guy who I said can't play, but yet he's ready to play anyway. And bail me out, by the way. You got to be the most ignorant person in the world to say that Tua is not mentally tough.
Okay.
Still got a cold. So you got to be so ignorant to say that he's not mentally tough. When all he's proven is mental toughness. He's got to put up with a coach that hated him. No offensive coordinator, no QB coach, nothing established, no line that's established. And yet, that would put the fear of God in any player normally. Kid goes out there, never points fingers, never blames anybody. All he's ever done is shown mental toughness. His entire career is all about mental toughness. His entire career is all about being resilient. His entire career seems to be about proving a lot of people wrong, and he's got to do it again. But don't ever tell me that the guy's not mentally tough. Because we're watching people retire from football left and right, and they're completely healthy. And I'm not telling you that he's tougher than this guy. But Andrew Luck chose a path, right? All I've heard from Tua since college is injury, pain, rehab. Injury, pain, rehab. Injury, pain, rehab. Andrew Luck didn't have that in college. He had it in the NFL. And he had enough. And he left. Ali Marpart, at 28 years old, just retired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Couldn't take it anymore. The beating, the wear and tear on his body. Not saying that they're not tough. But please don't tell me that Tua Tagovailoa isn't tough. I mean, he's the epitome of toughness. He doesn't have Cam Newton's body, but he finds a way to get back on the field. Just like Cam Newton, just like everybody else. So, those of you out there that want to question his mental toughness, I would love to just question your intelligence. That's basically what I want to do. Question your intelligence. Question your logic. Question your reality. Are you watching what's going on? Because if there's an example of toughness, it's that guy. It's the guy that gets down and gets back up again every single time. You know, Tyson Fury just retired from boxing. If you watched his career, there were a couple times he was down on the floor. A couple times he could have quit. And he found a way to get back up off that mat and beat his opponent. Did that a couple times in his career, if you watched it. toughness is measured in many different ways. And Tua Tagovailoa, when you're playing with fractured ribs and a fractured finger, and yet everybody around, some of you out there, are continuing to criticize the guy when he's making the ultimate sacrifice of being out there with the ribs, being out there with the finger, wanting to be out there behind a line that can't block, a line that can't run, quarterback's coach that can't coach, quarterback offensive coordinators that don't know really how to run an offense, and yet the guy still wants to be out there and play with his teammates. To measure his toughness or to say that he lacks it, to me, it just kind of shows the amount of ignorance that some of you have out there when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa. Sometimes you just don't want to be around people you don't like. It's not a matter of mental toughness. Brian Flores did not like Tua, did not want Tua, and pretty much coached against him while being on his own team. And Tua Tagovailoa knew from the get-go that he had a person that was not in his best interest. And it's really hard in the game of football to get somebody to believe in you when they know you don't believe in them. So you guys can look at it however you want, but a lack of toughness is not what I would ever label that dude ever. 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the program, don't forget Nature B is a proud sponsor of our program. And if you wonder why or how I have the energy to do 3 to 4 hours every single day with, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 minutes of commercials in an entire hour. If you wonder how we come up with talk every day for 3 to 4 hours, well, Nature B helps, man. It helps me because I have that energy every single day. It boosts my immune system, which is what I love most about it. And all it takes is 2 golden capsules every day. 2 golden capsules, 27 vitamins and amino acids, 28 powerful antioxidants, folks. Sustained energy all day long helps with digestion. That 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock fade, depending on where you're at, not going to happen. It's not going to happen while you're driving home too. You know, that kind of stuff. No. Sustained energy and boosting that immune system. Go to naturebee.com. Use my code BIGO. Get free shipping on that plant pollen. Been talking about this for 20 years now. 1 month supply, 3 month supply, 6 month supply. Feel the power of pollen. All natural from clean, green New Zealand. NatureBee.com. Alan Poupart is next.
Let's get ready to talk Dolphins football. It's the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Report with Sports Illustrated's Alan Poupart. With locations throughout South Florida, Sports Grill is the home of the special grilled wings. Check out our sponsored locations in Miami on Bird Road and 114th and in Miami Lakes in the Royal Oaks Plaza. Here's Miami Dolphins insider Alan Poupart.
All right. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend that is Alan Poupart. How you feeling, my man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Where you at, Panthers?
I am in the Panther at the FLA Live Arena dining room.
Okay. Did they serve you breakfast?
They did not serve us breakfast, but this is where I'll be having dinner this evening prior to game two of the Panther Lightning series.
How is the media dinner over there now?
It's solid.
Solid.
Yeah. No, this is different than what they serve in the press box upstairs, mind you. This is like a meal. This is like a full meal with a salad bar and
nice. Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, they're going special. I like it. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, Viola and Sifu, they have proven to be class owners from day one. That's for damn sure. How impressed have you been with their commitment, right? Because you think about this. It reminds me a lot of the Marlins. You're kind of a redheaded stepchild. You're not pro football. You're not UM, and you're not the Heat. Those are the dogs in this town. We know that. But we've been waiting for Marlin ownership to make a real commitment, right? And in order for you to make a commitment in those kind of sports, which are kind of almost niche sports as it is, you've got to hope that you can get that return, right? And Viola and Sifu have been all in, and where Marlin's management hasn't even come close. I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit for the dedication that they have shown to really building a real franchise here in hockey.
No, props to them for spending to the cap or close to the cap and not like just doing bare bones.
Right.
You know, like some other professional sports franchises I've done through the years. So the Panthers have assembled a really, really good roster, and part of it has been the willingness to spend the money to get that done. So, yeah, props to them. Absolutely.
Is it and I've been talking about this legacy moments now for Barkov and Hubert, bro, because, you know, we need them, man. We need the stars to be stars. So how do you look at it?
No, it is. And if the series goes south, really south, and I hate to think that way, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if the series were to go really south at some point, you're going to have some really major self-reflection and ask yourself, is this team built the right way to make a deep playoff run? Because again, the playoff hockey is different than regular season hockey. Amen. You don't have the kind of space you have, the time and space that you have in the regular season. It happened a couple of times. If you remember the Duclair goal on Tuesday night, for some reason unbeknownst to me, the Tampa defender decided to let Jonathan Huberdeau camp out near the boards with the puck. You give Huberdeau that kind of time, and he's going to find somebody open. Lo and behold, he found Duclair for the goal. Well, that's been one of the very, very rare occasions where UB's had a lot of time and space to operate. Usually it's like rush, and he's got guys on him. Right. And then the same thing for Barkov, who is anybody who knows me, and I've said this, nobody is a bigger fan than him, but he has to have that signature moment where he brings his game up and carries a team in the playoffs, and that has yet to happen. Because he's just a spectacular two-way player, but he needs to become dominant at some point offensively, and not just, you know, doing little things.
All right, so let me ask you what I think might be maybe an interesting question, or maybe it's a terrible question, but I think it's kind of interesting, or it's maybe unanswered, or maybe you can answer it. Is Barkov and Huberdeau more Bam Adebayo than Jimmy Butler?
Well, you're putting my Heat knowledge of the test, and mind you, I'm a peripheral NBA watcher, so
the whole thing about Bam is we know he's super talented, we know he's a gifted defensive player, we know he has some offensive gifts, but we've been wanting him to take that next step forward to be a superstar. But that's not in him. He doesn't have that dog in him to want to, oh, no, I got to take over. I got to score. I need the ball. Jimmy Butler is the most selfless.
No, he's correct. He's a bulldog.
But if you need him to be a bulldog, he's going to say, oh, you need me to score? I'll score. You need me to defend? I'll defend. You need me to facilitate? I'll facilitate. He's a son of a bitch when you need him to be a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Can Barkov and Huberdeau be sons of bitches? Because that's why the Heat are the Heat, because Jimmy Butler's a son of a bitch. And when I look at Barkov and Huberdeau, I see incredible talent, but I don't know if I see a son of a bitch.
No, and I don't know that they have that personality too. And if you look at the thing, very interesting, the NFLPA released a player poll asking who the best all-around player in the NHL is. Number one was Sidney Crosby. Number two was Barkov. And to me, the only difference I see between the two is Crosby's got a little nasty and dog in him.
Cut your throat out, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, and Barky doesn't have that. And that's just his personality. He's like a mellow, laid back, really, really cool guy.
You're right.
But he needs to be a badass at some point on the ice. And Huberdeau's skill set's not quite as all around developed as Barkey's is. The thing
shit,
with,
he had an MVP like year this
he
year,
did,
bro.
But it's mostly offensive. He's just a dazzling offensive player. which is difficult to carry over into the playoffs. It can happen, but it's more difficult. Whereas Barkov's game is, he's brilliant everywhere on the ice. I wish he was just a little bit more of a badass. And does he have it in him? That's a good question. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
All right. Did you go see practice?
Of course.
All right. So you told me you couldn't tell if Tua had more flexibility and more of an arm on that video from Nick, his trainer. I thought it looked like it. People said when they saw it, it looks like he's a little bit more mobile, maybe a little bit, a little more zip on the ball. Did you notice anything when you saw it
and,
now?
And yet you will have other guests on your show throughout the week, if they haven't already done so, tell you that there was a noticeable difference in the zip in his passes. I'm sorry. And I had this conversation with the gentleman I'm thinking of and telling him, I don't know what the hell you saw. It's the same guy. And there was some nice throw. I made that point. There were some nice throws in the practice. There was like the pass to Preston Williams to the left sideline was a really nice throw with great touch. And there was a pass to Gesicki over the middle. But I saw it portrayed as like a ball with a lot of zip. And sorry, no. It was a nice throw over the middle. I'm sorry.
Omar thought he had a little more zip. So was it Omar you disagreed?
It was Omar I was talking about. Okay. But it actually wasn't even the only one who said that. And I'm sorry, to me it was the same thing. Now, having said all that, yeah, it was a good solid practice. But there's nothing I would make any definitive conclusions from. Regardless of the fact that it was a May practice, if I thought for a second that I saw a noticeable difference in the speed, the velocity with which the ball comes out of his hand, I absolutely would tell you, but I'd be lying if I said I saw anything like that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. By the way, you can always tell when somebody wins big. That person went crazy, bro. Hey, man, it's always fun to win some money, man. Hell, I'm getting excited right now watching Bitcoin go over 30,000. Anyway, so what else when you went to practice? Give me something else that stood out to you that you liked.
There was no hitting
or anything, so I can't look really too much into.
There's no hitting, and I saw like some tweets about the offensive line, the defensive line being dominating. I must have missed it. I've been watching the wrong place because I didn't see that. There wasn't a whole lot of team drills or 7-on-7 work, so it was kind of limited. I did like what I saw from Noah Igbinoghene, actually.
Whoa!
He had one play where he had a really nice pass breakup against Jaylen Waddle, and then he had another play where he kind of stood up where the play was away from him, where there was some blocking involved. I think it was on Hunter Long, and he kind of stood his ground. There was some pushing and shoving after the play, and I like to see that aggressiveness from him. And he's a guy that I certainly have hopes that he can, you know, develop and become something in his third year. Outside of that,
I always get frustrated with him because I think too many have been unfair with him and judging him when he hasn't played, bro. He needs to play so we can actually really see if he can develop into a player. I don't like judging these young cats when they haven't gotten enough of an opportunity. And that's the only thing I feel bad about Noah, is that too many have already passed judgment on him, and it's just absolutely unfair to pass any kind of judgment on that young man. Just is, in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I agree to a certain point, but the coaches have seen him for 2 years. So now this is a different set of eyes on him with Sam and Patrick Surtain, like working with the cornerbacks, and we'll see what they can do with him. But it certainly deserves another shot this year. This is a rookie first-round pick. You're not getting anything for him in the trade anyway, so there's no point in just dumping him. Let's see what he can do. Give him a long look. You don't need to see what X and Byron Jones can do in preseason games.
No.
So if they don't play us, and especially Byron Jones is recovering from off-season surgery, if he doesn't play it down in the preseason, doesn't bother me in the least. If X doesn't play it down in the preseason, doesn't bother me in the least, I would have no problem. In fact, I would like it if Noah Igbinoghene played full first half in the preseason opener, three quarters in the other two. Look, you give them a really long look. You know, truly, really try to get a feel for what you have. And outside of that, what's it out to me? Tyreek Hill is fast. not exactly breaking news here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Connor Williams working a little center. You can't confirm, I guess.
I can tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. So those are the rules. We are not allowed to report on lineups and where players lined up.
All right. So, but obviously experimentation is going on, which is what you're supposed to do right now at this point, is start experimenting so you can find out early on who's who and what's what.
I would expect that there's some of that going on.
Right. Yeah. I would
figure. How's that? How's that for a nebulous answer?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Listen, I already told him what was going on anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's fine. It is what it is, but I can understand you being there. You have to – yeah, you definitely have to answer it that way.
I don't have to like the rules. I'm playing by them. I don't have to like them, but I'm playing by them.
Right. Sony Michel looked good?
Didn't notice him, to be honest with you. I had the kid, one carry
shape is what I'm saying. Not expecting anything from blocking or running or anything like
correct.
That. Anything going on, dude. I mean, you know, what are we going to do?
But you want to see how they move, like, through the hole is one thing you want to see. And then there was, like a nice burst of that type, like my one by Miles Gaskin. Savon Ahmed had one. Chase Edmonds, I don't believe, worked out. I don't even know if we even spotted him on Tuesday. And mind you, they've had three. Today was their third OTA, and we were allowed to watch the one on Tuesday, which is the pattern. So for the next 4 weeks is 3 weeks of OTAs. We get to watch one of the three of the 10 total, and then we have the 2-day mini camp, which we'll be allowed to watch. That's June 1st and 2nd.
Did you notice anything different on Gesicki where they were lining him up?
I couldn't tell you if I did. And
okay.
To be honest,
you can't tell me either, right? Yeah, that's right.
Tell you.
That's right. Okay. All right. Were there experimentations at the tight end spot?
I didn't notice anything. I'll be very honest with you.
Okay. All right. I'm just wondering if somehow or another they brought him a little closer to the line or something crazy like that. I'm just wondering. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I asked Omar this. I think it was Omar or maybe Marcel. I forgot which one earlier in the week. You notice anything with Gesicki body-wise? Because the last time we saw him on the podium, it looked like he was beefing up the arms a little bit. So
a lot.
Oh, a lot? Really?
No, that podium session was – you want to use the word noticeable? There was a noticeable difference.
Right.
He looked like this. On the field, no. On the field, he looked back to where –
okay.
Almost looked back to where he was before. So I did. There was nothing that stood out to him physically. Like I saw him on the field. It wasn't like I had to do a double take. It's like, wait a second, is that Gesicki? It was clearly easy to spot him.
Okay. All right. And how about Hunter? What'd you see from him at all?
Other than that little, I don't want to use the word brouhaha or whatever, little pushing and shoving with Noah, nothing really noticeable from him.
Okay.
And in terms of his body, I didn't notice either. So he's somebody who certainly could use some more muscle.
I don't know if I got your thoughts on it on the Melvin Ingram signing.
Yeah, we spoke about it Monday. Love it.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah.
No, I almost got a little worried there for a second. I wonder why it took so long from the agreed to terms to officially sign the contract. But hey, worked out in the end. So no, great.
He was probably traveling. Probably. He was probably in the middle of some kind of a vacation or something. Correct. They had to wait till he got back. And plus, he's probably not, you know, in that much of a hurry. Like, he agreed to the deal, but he doesn't have to rush to be down here because he's a vet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, OTAs, let me get there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no. And I would imagine that's what's going on with J.C. Treader, that whatever offers are out there are kind of the same. And he's like, well, those offers will be out there in another month. I don't need to be, you know, at somebody's mini camp right now doing nothing whatsoever. That's not going to help me. So, yeah, I can imagine that Melvin Ingram isn't that pumped up. All right. What are you working on over at Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out, my friend?
Well, I'm going to start like breaking down the schedule and specific parts of the schedule. So that's going to be one thing. And then I'm going to as after we hang up, I'm going to resume working on the on something about this whole speed and this whole idea of a race between Tyreek and Waddle, and along with other thoughts and statistical nuggets on speed and some data.
Fox Sports needs to make this an event. Fox Sports Florida needs to get involved, get a couple sponsors involved, you know, get do a little TV show for about a half hour. You talk it up good. You have the race. You have the interview with the winner. You have some fun. And that would be a killer half hour of just, you know, entertainment right there.
Yeah, well, I'm not on board with that, but that's going to be part of what I'm going to write about. I do want to say also, and it's good that you have my Twitter handle on there, is I'm doing a mailbag this weekend. So looking for questions.
Send it in.
Right there. I've already put out the call for questions. I'm going to retweet the last call, the final call for questions for this week.
We've got some that are worried about your glasses. They're worried about the thickness of your glasses.
Yes.
Are you nearsighted is what they're asking.
I am horribly nearsighted. If without my glasses, I'm borderline blind. But my glasses are very good so that when I'm looking on the field, yes, I can see what's going on. For those who think that, oh, that explains why his takes are so stupid because he can't see anything. So, no, that's not my excuse. My excuse may be for those who want to dump on my takes, that it would be strictly lack of football knowledge. It's not the glasses are not an excuse.
Oh, okay. Or maybe they're thinking you go by CFL rules. You're Canadian.
Right? Exactly. I'm always wondering why the Dolphins aren't motioning offensive players toward the line of scrimmage at the snap, which is allowed in the NFL. So.
Yeah, you're standing around going, why is this end zone so small? Exactly. What the hell is going on? What happened to the 10 yards? You people are cheap here in America. You couldn't build the fields the right size? Come on,
and the most important question, why are the Dolphins never going for a rouge?
Yes.
Come on, what's going on here?
What's going on, bro? Come on, Super Bowl trophy. Grey Cup.
Grey Cup, there you go.
That's what it's all about, bro. That's what life is all about, the Grey Cup. There not a go. Stinking Super Bowl trophy.
Actually, coldest in my life I've ever been was at a Grey Cup. Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
The Alouettes against who?
The Edmonton Eskimos.
There you go.
I was freezing. It was bad.
The EEs.
Yes, you are correct. And now they're the Edmonton Elks.
Oh, that's right. Yes, mm-hmm. they did change their.
Yep.
Didn't somebody change to like the Red Blacks or something like that?
Yeah,
that's
Ottawa. Yeah.
Yes, right. From the Rough Riders to the Red Blacks, right? Yeah, is that what it is?
It used to be a league with, I don't even know if they might have gone back, I don't even know, but they used to be a team. This used to be a league with 9 teams, and 2 of them were Rough Riders.
Right.
It's like you ran out of nicknames, dude, seriously?
With 9 teams, right?
Yeah.
It's like Hollywood. They can't come up with a new movie. They just got to repeat the old ones and, you know, and you know, okay, we don't know what new movies are. Let's just do a new Jaws.
There you go.
That's just the way it goes.
No, right. Jaws the Revenge. I mean, come on.
There you go. Now that was a classic right there. Baby. Yes.
That was rough.
That was good. That was, what's the dude's name that played with a bad Jamaican accent?
If you tell me Peebles,
Mario Peebles. Oh God, that was a terrible Jamaican accent, man. I wonder if Mario still regrets that to this day, going, God, I sound terrible like a Jamaican.
What a horrible movie.
Yeah, it was.
Horrible. Yeah, Michael Caine was in that movie too.
Yes. There are actually a couple of actors in that movie. Yeah, you're right. Yep. You're right about that. All right. Follow him on Twitter at @PoopHardNFL. Send in those questions. On the mailbag there at Poopard NFL, and make sure you bookmark that Sports Illustrated page so you can find out everything Miami Dolphins. Alan, as always, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
You got it. Have a great weekend.
There you go. Alan Poopard and our Sports Grill Miami Dolphins report.
This has been the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report with Alan Poupard, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and never miss a report. Search Big O Radio Show on most platforms. Visit Sports Grill in our sponsored locations in Miami on Bird Road and 114th and in Miami Lakes in the Royal Oaks Plaza.
50. So, yeah, we'll have some reaction from Jimbo Fisher going after Saban. By the way, over at Sports Grill, they've got this thing called the Home Run Chips. They're topped with golden barbecue pulled pork, Parmesan cheese, special grilled, special garlic onions, and sour cream. You like those Home Run Chips? It sounds like a winner. I just don't want sour cream.
I went the other day, and I got the special grilled wings, barbecue garlic, of course. I got me some mozzarella sticks, of course. Got me a grilled cheese.
Oh.
Yeah. I love their grilled cheese.
I know.
I love their grilled cheese.
I know.
And I had it all gone before the games came on.
I'm not surprised.
I was so upset.
I'm not so surprised.
I should have got more.
I'm going not back surprised.
Tonight. I'll be back tonight.
Try the chicken club sandwich. Try the tacos and nachos. They've got the churrasco quesadilla. It's so good. Melted cheddar cheese and pepper jack cheese sauteed with perfectly seasoned churrasco steak. Grilled onions and peppers available upon request. And very recommended. Get it, baby. So they got a great menu right now. And by the way, they're hiring in Doral, in Bird Road, and in Miami Lakes. All three of those locations. New one in Doral going over there at the city center. That place is awesome. All right. 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the Welt and Realm text line, you can also reach out to us on Twitter. That's at Big O Show. Now, before we get to hour number three, I want to get into a topic that I've been hearing about. Okay, the silliness about the lack of toughness, which was just stupid. Okay, the other one that I'm hearing about from folks, and I see you already. I smell you from a million miles away. Okay. I don't want to hear that Tua has a head coach now. I don't want to hear that Tua has offensive coordinators now. I don't want to hear that Tua, if these guys can block now and they can teach them, I don't want to hear that Tua has an offensive line. I don't want to hear that if they do and they can run the ball a little bit, I don't want to hear that they have a running game. And I'm already hearing it. I'm already hearing the people that were doubters talk about, hey, Tua looks healthier. Tua, his arm looks stronger. Let me explain something to a lot of you out there that have misrepresented this young man from the get-go. He didn't get to this league healthy. He didn't get to this league as a finished product. And he certainly didn't get into this league in his first couple of years with the proper support that any quarterback needs. Now, we're hoping that this is the year that he gets the support he needs. Because those of us, like myself, that believe that he can play, here's the difference. And here's where I smell you. I see you coming from miles away, and you're not getting a goddamn break on this program. You don't get to tell me he's healthier now. Because I've been telling you for 2 years that this is a guy that it's going to take a little while for him to get healthy. You don't get to tell me he's got a running game when you weren't willing to say the running game was a problem for him for 2 years. You don't get to say now they have an offensive line if they do end up developing an offensive line because we've been telling you for 2 years they can't block. You can't tell me, oh my God, they know how to call offensive plays now. Well, that's what we've been telling you. Those of us that actually follow the game and we tell you they don't have an offensive coordinator, he doesn't even have a quarterback's coach. His quarterback's coach is the guy from 7-on-7s. No, not a guy established in the NFL that has actually coached in the NFL and has been successful with other quarterbacks like the one they have now. So those of us that actually understand the game, and we've been telling you, well, wait a minute, dude. You're judging a guy that's not even healthy. Oh, you're judging a guy this year that's playing with broken ribs and a fractured finger and no coaching staff and no running game and no offensive line. You don't get to use that as an excuse. You get to take the L and just say you're wrong. Because that's what I'm going to tell you to your face. That you're just wrong. You were wrong about Tua. Because you didn't judge things the right way. You didn't look at the entire scenario and the entire situation and what he was in the middle of. Because on this show, we kept telling you, well, wait a minute. He had blocking in Alabama. He had a coaching staff in Alabama. He had a quarterback's coach, an offensive coordinator in Alabama. Guys that were like NFL coordinators. Because half of Saban's staff usually are NFL coaches. So he had everything he needed in Alabama to succeed. He hasn't had anything to succeed here. Here's the other thing. Still stuffed. So here's the other thing. So, and you can go back. It's all on record here. We don't erase anything. We don't, nothing. It's all there, dude. Whether I'm right or I'm wrong, it's all there. The audio is there. The video is there. You can't hide from it. Okay? Go look at my conversations after his first year. I bragged about his first year. When many, many of you said, oh, dude, he sucked. He was mediocre, this, that. I'm the one that said he had a hell of a year. Considering he doesn't have anything, and considering he was coming back from an injury and no experience and really wasn't the number one guy and wasn't taking reps like the number one guy and wasn't working on football in the offseason. He was working on rehabbing his body. I thought he did a hell of a job. He still won more than he lost. He still threw more touchdowns than interceptions. He played overall a really good season. Most people won't say that. But most people did not assess it the right way because they don't judge everything else around him that was a disaster and his lack of experience. So you don't get that break. I just want you to know ahead of time. So for those of you, if this happens, if, of course, at the end of this coming season, which I believe it will, but I could be wrong, not the first time, but I believe Tua is going to ball out. I think he's going to have a hell of a year. But as the year goes on, I'm going to look for you. So when you start telling me, well, no, yeah, Tua's winning now because he had an offensive line, you don't get the excuse. He didn't have one before. So you don't get to criticize him when he doesn't have one, and you don't get to give him a backhanded compliment because he now has one. Comprende, compadres? So the backhanded compliment, oh, wow, he's got a quarterback's coach now. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, he's got a head coach in Mike McDaniel. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Mike McDaniel knows how to build an offensive staff. You don't get that. You don't get the opportunity for the backhanded compliment. The backhanded compliment that you're using as an excuse for why you were wrong. So I see it already coming. Oh, he's looking healthier. Oh, his arm looks better. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they're running the ball. Oh, no wonder he's succeeding. They've got talent around him. Yeah, no, because other guys succeed so well without any talent or coaching. You don't get that excuse. And you don't get to have the backhanded compliment because you were wrong. Hour number two is over from Hialeah Park. Hour number three is next. And in this hour, Marcel Louis Jacques will be joining us at 12:30 with our Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins report. And at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk a little hockey with David Dwork. And we'll get into a little Panthers, see if the boys can get it done tonight. Sean Stanley mastering this program like he does exceptionally every single day of his existence. And we appreciate all of you out there. All right, let's take a break. Hour number three is next.